To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Crum?
Here.
Elwanger?
Here.
Fries?
Here.
Kozlowski?
Here.
McKenzie?
Here.
McCann?
Here.
Meter? Needhammer?
Here.
St. Dennis?
Here.
Lori, good call. In case you'd be running late and wanted to be excused for being tardy.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Consent agenda.
Well, I would make a recommendation that you move 3A to make it 6B because it pertains to the Kirkland unfinished business. And we can talk about that at that time.
Okay.
Do we vote on amending the agenda? Just
pulling it, yeah. Okay. Motion to amend the agenda?
I'll make the motion.
Yes, Mike?
Can I request for the audience's information of who that last speaker was? That masked man at the end table, just so everybody knows.
Would you please introduce yourself?
I'm Jim Murray, an attorney with Plunkett Cooney, and have the pleasure of serving as the City of Boyne City City Attorney.
Thank you.
So we have a motion and a second to amend the agenda, moving item 3A to 6B. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, moving on. Item number 4 is hearing citizens present on non-agenda items. Seeing none, we'll move on to 5. Reports of officers, boards, and standing committees.
We received the Shoreline Protection Strategies report that a couple of our Planning Commission members served on that committee. This is just for information purposes for now. You may want to review it, and then we can put this on as an agenda item if you want to take some action on it or implement some of these strategies for our ordinances that we can take.
Item 6A, Kirkland Products follow-up.
Do you want me to explain why I recommended moving
that
the agenda item?
A good thing to say.
All right. Looking at the minutes of the meeting of September 17th, 2012, it occurred to us when we met with representatives from Kirkland that the minutes were silent on whether the decision of this Planning Commission was a final decision. Doesn't say it was, doesn't say it wasn't. It probably should address that issue, and here's how I see your three options. If you adopt these minutes as written, it will trigger under the city zoning ordinance, it will trigger, if it's a final decision, the applicant, if it elects to appeal that decision, must go to circuit court within 30 days. It would be their obligation or lose or risk waiving that right to go to circuit court to appeal your decision. So you have the choice of adopting as stated and having that occur, or you could elect to amend. And I would call it, under Robert's rules, to be technical, something like make a motion to amend after adoption, because again, you've already adopted it at the last meeting, you're just now approving the minutes, to address whether your decision is a final decision or not. And so you could just amend your motion to say, this says what it says, and it's consistent with what you did last time. I'm not here to revisit what you did last time and say it's consistent, but we either would like to make it not a final decision, which then doesn't start this meter running to require the applicant to go to circuit court to appeal. If you say the magic words, this decision is not a final decision. Or again, as I said before, you can say it's a final decision, or you just don't have to adopt the minutes. And then that holds the time as well. But that was silent last time. I think that should be addressed. So again, I think we're going to get into some matters that involved the correspondence dated October 12, 2012, that was attached to your package. And yes, staff and I did meet with Kirtland and their attorneys. I think this letter outlines generally what we talked about. So if you have questions about that, but the concept being that the applicant seek to what they call apply for an amended conditional land use permit. And by doing so, would hopefully create a benchmark to have standards to apply. And the standards they have cited are, for example, like the city of Traverse City and some other cities, or some experts could come in and provide some standards. It would provide the city an opportunity to review these standards, have a public meeting if it wants to, and so forth. But if the standards were agreed to mutually, and again, these would be standards that would apply throughout the city, not just to Kirtland, but throughout the city, that they would agree to amend their conditional land use permit so that if the standards were violated, you'd not be barred and could bring an enforcement action. But that will take some time. The idea was to have Traverse City come in and start doing some testing to see whether currently it would violate, for example, Traverse City's ordinance. And so I don't want to get into the merits of it, but more the procedure and the legal analysis that first starts with your minutes. That will set something in motion. I just didn't think you knew that probably at the time, but it may have been an unintended consequence or will be an unintended consequence, and you should address whether you have that desire or not. And I don't mean to take anyone else's time, but that's my explanation of your three options for now. Any questions? First of the, okay.
So I guess let's, since we brought it up, let's start with the minutes. I'll start with, the way I felt that we left it at the last meeting was that was not our final decision that was going to start triggering any kind of legal process, that we wanted to continue to, the modifications were still being done at the plant, and we're still waiting for emissions testing, and we wanted to talk with the city's attorney about kind of the next steps and what the next things we could do were. So true, we didn't find them in compliance, but that didn't mean that that was the end. We wanted to continue to work with them. That was the way that I felt we had left it. And just a minute, Mike. Any other?
I think you're right. Most of the statements were to allow those reports to come in so we could view them and understand what they were and if they were in compliance, because we had a lot of unknowns at that particular time. Certainly the sound survey was a hard document, but some of the others were up in the air yet. You're making a decision on something you don't know about could be difficult. So I agree with what you're saying.
And I second the motion that Jim had from last week. I concur with that. I don't think we're ready for litigation, but I want to move forward with some timelines.
Michael Kane, Boyne City Manager. You may want to consider as a board, basically, this revised agenda that you've just adopted, 6A and 6B. I would suggest to you that you may want to consider 6B, the adoption of the minutes, with or without any conditions, after your full discussion with regards to the Kirtland update, where you have an opportunity to hear from the citizens and from Kirtland with regards to where they think they are and what, if any, new information they have to present to you since the last planning commission. That may have an impact on the decision you wish to make with regards to how you adopt the new minutes and whether you want to attach conditions to it or not. So I would suggest you may want to go back to the original format that you just amended a couple minutes ago with regards to the agenda. Go through the Kirtland discussion first, get the input from all the sides, kind of figure out where you want to go then, and then you can have the minutes adoption fall in place with your intended desire.
Thank you. Okay, then start with the staff report.
Sure. As you recall, the Planning Commission met on September 17th. At that meeting, two motions were made. The first motion was that they found the Kirtland non-compliant for those reasons that were stated. And we may want to clarify specifically what motion Jim was talking about in the final determination if we do go that way. And then there was a second motion made, kind of directing staff to meet with the city attorney and find the objective standards. We did do that, and a product of that is the letter that came from Mr. Quant and that was supplied to you. In there is a proposal, possible course of action. So this is being brought to the Planning Commission for review and consideration, and if they want to pursue that action. Of course, the Kirtland representatives are here today, and they can perhaps more thoroughly talk about their proposal.
Sure.
Once again, Joe Quant, I'm counsel for Kirtland, and I'm from Charter City. We did have, as you may remember, one of the requests of the Planning Commission was that we meet the staff between the last meeting and this meeting to try to come up with some pathway forward that would achieve the criteria of addressing the community's concerns, but then also providing some pathway to an objective standard that the plan can work to achieve and that is measurable and accountable to the community and to the city. What we did is that culminated, that meeting culminated in my letter, which basically sets forth kind of a pathway forward from the meeting that we had. Essentially, as far as an update is concerned, I'll have Tom throw a shoe at me if I'm, you know, mischaracterizing where we're at, but the final plant modifications were made. We asked Kodiak to come back in to do some additional evaluations. I don't think that we have that report back yet, but I would expect that we do. Okay, then I'll let Tom talk a little bit about that. But essentially, you know, I'm sure that Kodiak will have some additional recommendations with respect to management of the noise issues. The DEQ stack testing has been done. We don't have that report yet, but we would certainly hope to have that report for you by the next Planning Commission meeting. There was a suggestion that the Traverse City code enforcement people who deal with enforcing the Traverse City ordinance, which has both a decibel and a frequency range limitation within their ordinance, that it might be helpful to have their input as to whether or not the plant would meet the Traverse City ordinance. We also jointly thought that it would be helpful for them to offer any recommendations that they might have with respect to having a consistent and objective standard and an enforcement process to achieve that standard in an accountable way. We also talked about having a consultant who would be engaged by the city to help the city draft, you know, an appropriate ordinance or work with your city attorney to draft an appropriate ordinance. Once again, to have the same objective, which is to have a measurable criteria that, you know, we either meet or we don't meet, that both the community and the commission, the city commission, all agree is appropriate. the end analysis is what we're all trying to get to is an amended conditional land use permit that would basically adopt that standard, whatever the appropriate standard is. After your consultants have provided you that direction, and then we would have something, we would have an achievable benchmark for the, you know, for the city as far as an enforcement tool, and we would also have an achievable, or at least a benchmark, a minimum benchmark that the company can work towards to make sure that the interests of the community are protected. So, be glad to answer any questions. I'm sure Tom will probably talk about the upcoming report.
Tom Romley, resident of Kirtland Products. A few weeks ago, last time we were here, we had one piece of equipment that still wasn't corrected. We made that correction, and then that week that we ran, we got some feedback from some of the citizens saying that it's what we didn't hear the week of the stack testing, people could hear us again. And so what we did was call in Kodiak Group to come back and to verify what we did had a the results that we were hoping for. Well, there was two pieces of equipment, both the one that we modified and another one that they made suggestions that we do some additional tuning of. And so this past week, we completed that modifications to the 125030 and the 125050 stacks. And we're waiting to start up tomorrow morning to see what kind of results we get from those modifications that we did. So we believe that that will finalize the recommendations by Kodiak, and we're hopeful that our pulsation will be greatly reduced.
This is not a public hearing as it was last month, but we it's the tradition that we do open up for a public comment. So again, just like last month, please state your name and address so that we can get that for the record. Does anybody have any comments? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Deborah Sarah Sandler at 811 Rockway. I just want to share that my husband was driving past on 75 coming from Walloon into Boyne City. And yes, it was 2 weeks ago, but this is the second time or the third time we've smelled the smell. And he saw the smoke or whatever's coming out of those looms. The sound, I will say, is better. We still hear it, though. We're about maybe two or three blocks away from the factory, but by the schools and all that. Well, we put up with the noise of the schools, the bus garage, the now transit, now the Humane Society. We've been in our home for over 30 years, probably 35, 36 years. It's almost to the point, if we continue to hear this and have this pollution we're selling, we're going to move to a different city. I hate to say this, but I'm not alone in this feeling. There's others in this room that feel the same. I wasn't born in Boyne City, but I've been here since 1969. And Boyne City's a beautiful hometown to me, but I can't stand it. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Lee Howard, Boyne City. In respect to the comment that was just made, it should be noted that the temperature has lowered, so you are going to start to see that plume of steam because of the temperature variation. If you look in the summertime, it's not visible. I know this because my husband works there and I go there all the time, so I do know that. In relation to your minutes and whether you're going to adopt them or not, I would ask that you take into consideration the petitions that were turned in, 1,100 names in support of Boyne City, or in support of Kirtland Products, in relation to the 90 who I you know, have sympathy for, but that's more than 10 to 1. I think you need to take that into consideration, that the public supports Kirkland products, and you should as well.
Thank you. We're just going to allow one round of comment, or everyone to be able to talk first. Any other? Yes, sir.
Larry Frechette. I've lived here for 18 years. I live at 1027 Wilson Street. I've driven many times to the industrial park and to the housing subdivision across the street from it. I've really never noticed any louder noises than the gravel trucks rumbling by on M75. It's an industrial park. It's zoned industrial. It's right next to an airport, too, and it's right next to the main thoroughfare where 18-wheelers, double tandem trucks roll by about every 5 minutes. I figure if you buy a house in the industrial park, you probably got to assume some risk, okay? If I moved to a house next to the L tracks in Chicago, I wouldn't be able to ask the city to stop the trains from running. I'd assume some risk of hearing the trains once in a while, just like I'd assume some hearing the sounds of working in an industrial park. Certainly sympathize, but I think I'm comparing apples to oranges here.
Don Nesson, I live at on Boyd Street, right beside the plant. I've been here 40 years, way before the industrial park was. I was living up there. Mm-hmm. And all I want to know is, Kirkland came here, came to you people, said, here, this is what we'll do. Can we have a permit? You said, yes. All I'm asking, make Kirkland do what they said he was going to do. I mean, we went through 10 months of this every month. They've got another reason to run another month, another excuse to run another month. How long do we got to put up with it? And I think it's time that the board there said, hey, we've got citizens up there we've got to take care of.
Tim Arner, 701 L Street. I think at the last meeting I expressed my concern of what the noise has done for me and my family at my home, which is about a mile from the plant. I didn't assume any risk when I bought my house 30 years ago. Kirtland wasn't there. What I did assume was that the city and the planning commission would do what they needed to do to protect the quality of life in Boyd City. It doesn't matter if we have 1,100 people that are in favor of a business. You can't really compare that to the 10 or 20 or 100 people who have been impacted by this and whose quality of life is being threatened. I don't think anybody who has voiced an objection has any reason to say Kirtland should be out of business. I don't sell wood pellets. I have no clients who sell wood pellets. I have no reason for them not to be successful in business. But I do have a reason to be bothered by the fact that now they've come and opened a plant that disturbs my peace and quiet and enjoyment in my residential community. And so they say that they've made some modifications. They didn't say when the final modifications were made. I can tell you since the last meeting, the weather has been colder. My windows have been closed on my home every night. I do know that on the evening of September 25th and September 27th, both still quiet nights, my windows were all closed. The noise was still very loud in my bedroom at 10 o'clock at night, annoying enough that I had to put earplugs in to block out the noise so that I could go to sleep. I woke up about 3 a.m. The plant didn't wake me up, but I woke up about 3 a.m. And again, the noise was there. The noise has changed, but it's still a low frequency sort of noise. It's not oscillating as much as it did, but it still is there, it still is penetrating, and you can still hear it. So I don't think that this is a numbers game, how many families are being impacted by it versus how many jobs this plant is providing. They had to have a special permission to open this plant. They made certain representations to you to get it open, and those representations were not accurate, and now you have a lot of families that are being impacted. And I hope they can improve it. I think they haven't been operating as much lately. I haven't noticed, frankly, the noise as much in the last couple of weeks. I don't know when they operate. I know they're only doing it 3 days a week. So I hope they can work this, but I would hope you would all be sensitive to the people that are being impacted by this, and it's not simply a numbers thing.
Thank you.
across the river from my mom and dad from the home. As much as I like to tell you guys, the noise is not that I want that. It really is not. I mean, God, Thursday night, literally, there was vibrations in the bedroom. In the older, there is definitely an older, and there just doesn't seem to be a lot of discussion about what are we going to do about this older. I guess I'd like to know what happened about the older. There's something that can be done. There definitely is. I mean, when it hits you, it's like an allergy attack. Kind of a combination of pine and a sawdusty smell. And it is there. I wish I could say it's better, it just is not.
Lisa Leafgott, I live at 43 North and 75, two doors down from her. We're directly across the river from the plant. And my husband is a disabled veteran, and he's home 24/7. And his eyes burn when he smells. He can smell the, he said he likes wood smoke, you know, the fireplace wood smell, but he does not like the burning of wet wood that it's giving off or whatever. And it's definitely, I get home around 5 and I can sense it, but I'm not outside as much as he is. And the noise, we have large picture windows facing M75, and it just, the noise is a constant radiating noise. It just doesn't go away. It is better. It has been, it's taken on a different sound, but it's still constant. And that's where it drives you nuts. Thank you.
Bob Peterson, I live about 10 miles south of here. I just like to express to the one lady that talked about moving. I moved from the UP to here, and I moved to a very quiet area that I thought, you know, was very rural and very quiet. About 4 months later, they put a compressor facility in my yard. In my backyard, not my property, but a quarter mile away. You want noise? Be careful where you move to, because just because you move out of the city, which you know there's noise in the city, you move to a rural area, you're not going to get it. You know? So I would just caution you on that, that no matter where you run, you can't hide.
I'm Richard Nesson. I live at 316 Boyce Street. I got a couple of days here written down, like 25th of September. It was very loud early in the morning. 26th, very loud and smelly, and I could see the plume. And I went for my walk that morning. I still could hear the plant on Park Street. Actually, my husband called Scott that morning because it was awful. When I came back here, I heard it and everything too. So 27th, it was very loud at 9:31 at night. We had our TV going and it was terrible. It sounded just like an old tugboat going in our front yard, and it was just terrible. Sounded eerie, awful sounding. 28th, it smelled very, very badly. And you know, I was thinking, in our immediate area where we live, which is Boyce and Roosevelt, we got about 25 children living there all year round. Plus we got our schools, hundreds of kids in there. That's all something to think about for me. So that's all I would like to say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We will go
into Okay.
Sorry.
Mark Kowalski, Fall Park Road, Plain City. Back in 2008, I, my wife, most of my friends, I think the whole town was, in full support of Kirtland Products and the wood pellet plant and the people that it would employ. Tom, Mike, Leon, they're good people, and we all know that. And my heart is just broken that this whole thing is where it's at. I supported them, and I also had the confidence that our zoning would also protect us. The zoning was light manufacturing, and that no matter would allow to affect in a detrimental way the surrounding districts or uses. That's out of our zoning, section 1410. On November the 17th, 2008, the planning board met, I think most of you were on the board at the time, regarding Kirtland's application for a conditional use permit. Again, it wasn't really light industrial. They wouldn't have had to come before you. And, you know, this is brought up a lot, you know, that people shouldn't move there because of the fact that it's an industrial park, but it was light industrial. It needed a special use permit to fit the location. Here are some of the questions that were asked at that meeting that you guys asked. What would be coming out of the stacks? The answer was CO2 and water. They didn't tell us that there would also be volatile organic compounds and particular matter making up the remaining portions. For example, particular matter are things floating around in the air. Most of them you cannot see. The kind of air pollution that's called particulates or particulate matter. In fact, particulate matter may be the air pollutant that most commonly affects people's health. We are relying on the DEQ to tell us if this is safe level coming out of the stacks. The model that was based on wood pellet plants are further out of town and not next to neighborhoods and schools. The article written about another wood pellet plant in Canada stated that there's just no safe levels of particulate matter pollution. Society as a whole has shared responsibility to take care of its air that we breathe. The plant that was in Burns Lake, Canada, was 12 miles outside of town. They were made to install micro mist scrubbers because the town was so afraid of the particulate matter that would carry into the town 12 miles away. Our wood pellet plants is in the city limits. I do believe that the applicant would have said that these types of emissions were coming out of the stack. The planning board would have tabled it for further study. Your question to them was, what about the odor? The answer was, we were at two other plants and didn't smell a thing. I believe the planning board felt that that was significant to mean no odor. There is odor when the plant is running, and when it's running 24 hours, you can smell it downtown. I believe the planning board would have tabled this for further study if they thought there would be odor coming out. They did finally say at a later meeting that there would be odor, but at that point, the permit was already granted. What about noise? The applicant went on a very long, in-depth discussion about decibels, and that there would be 24 at the property line and 15 at the nearest house. They stated it would be no louder than Lexamar. Any other noise equipment would be inside, decoupled, or have a building built around it. I think that's your benchmark.
30 seconds left.
How large would the plume be? Well, it's 50 times Lexamar, and they said 50 times, or Lexamar would be twice Lexamar. Bottom line, I'm asking for your help to uphold the zoning to protect health, safety, welfare, and sanity of the adjacent property owners and the citizens of Blaine City. Thank you.
Item A is
proposed course of action, and then you would determine if that's a path or some other path that you want to go. And that would dictate what you do with the minutes.
Okay, so the proposed course of action is to try to come up with some objective criteria that could turn into enforceable standards, is my understanding. Starting with assistance from Traverse City, and are they willing to come and talk to us?
We have contacted Traverse City. Preliminary indications are that they will assist us in this. We do not have any firm commitments or scheduling set, but we have made contact and we're pursuing it.
Okay. Also, getting the stack test results back was one of the things we talked about at the last meeting. But kind of going down the sound line too, engaging a sound consultant. At what point would we be doing that after we talk with Travis City?
I can't guarantee when or if that would happen. That is a possibility. And we have to see if there's a way to accomplish that and a way to pay for it.
Okay. Any other officer items?
To clarify, I guess, is I want to speak on my behalf, not I can't speak on the nine of us, but I think we are very sensitive and aware that the noise levels are obtrusive to a lot of people. We know that, and from day one, we've been coming to try to put a solution to it, and we know that your patience is running thin. But what we're talking about tonight is that if, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Scott, but if Kirtland, if we held them accountable to doing everything that they said in the conditional use, and there were still noise problems after they performed those noise abatement processes, then we'd have zero recourse because they would have fulfilled the conditional use. So if we go through this process of getting a measurement system in there in, that addresses not only decibels but the low decibels and you know the technical terms to address the low frequency noises that are vibrating through the houses, then we're asking for another 30 days to get some experts to get a measurement system to get experts in here so that we can hold Kirtland to a quantifiable result. So am I right in that assumption, Scott?
It's a fair analysis, yeah.
So I just want to stress that we're not insensitive to the people's concerns with the noise. I've been to your houses. I've heard it. I agree. I know. But we now have legal advice. We have staff advice. And we're going through a process that we hope will solve the problem. Yes.
I just want to follow up on what Tom is saying. You're accurate, but I want you to understand that I think the concept is you're not making a decision tonight or being asked to make any decision to cast anything in stone. Other than conceptually, does it make sense to proceed along this idea of coming up with a different terms for a conditional, an amended conditional use permit? I don't think you're being asked to limit it to a narrow confines of we're going to do this, this, and this in the next 30 days. And you're not bound if it doesn't work. If you get to a point where, whether it's the Traverse City consultant, a paid consultant, our consultant, their consultant, or whatever, no, you're not bound by anything. You can come back here and make a decision, no, this is a final decision, and we're sticking with our minutes of your last meeting and so forth. It's simply the concept, do I or do I not want to proceed with trying to come up with objective standards to implement in a conditional use permit. But don't think you're casting it in stone that you have to do it with a yes vote to delay this matter. You can revisit it at your next meeting or the next meeting or every meeting if you want.
And if and when we set those standards, they would be favorable to what the city wants as far as decibels, as far as not louder than XMR.
I would assume you would not adopt them. Again, you're not under any obligation to agree to an amended conditional land use permit. So, correct. If you didn't feel the standards were fair and reasonable to the city, to the neighbors, to the citizens in the entire city and surrounding area, you would not probably adopt them. But if you came back and found that certain standards were agreeable by everybody, these are reasonable standards, and the applicant's willing to, and again, we're not sure if they're willing, if our standards are too high, they may not agree either. If they're too low, you may not agree with them. The goal is to try and have reasonable ones that we both agree to, and then move forward.
And it gives them a quantifiable measurement to do their engineering to achieve those numbers.
Correct. As I said at one meeting, I asked the question, would Kirtland today pass Traverse City's test? I don't know the answer to that. Well, that seems reasonable that we should all know the answer to that.
I'm pretty familiar with the Traverse City ordinance, at least how it was that from about 2 years ago. I don't know if it's changed in the last 2 years. Let's start with that. They do have a very good noise ordinance in Traverse City. I was quite impressed with it. And the gentleman that I met there 2 years ago, a police officer, his name is Scott Maxon, I thought was at the top of the game when it came to community noise issues. He's very well trained. I hope he's still there. If you can get him to come, I think that would be excellent. Sort of on another aside, you know, I've been wanting the city of Boyne City to have a noise ordinance here. And I did, about a year ago, I hired a consulting company to take the Traverse City noise ordinance and try to improve it and make it even better. And that was done, and that report was given to the city back in January of this year. So that's floating around there. I think maybe Kirkland might even have a copy of it. I believe they might have given that to it sometime in the past. Whether the noise level would be in compliance with what Traverse City's ordinance is, I don't know the answer to that either, Jim. It's just, it could be or it might not be. But it would be close, be very close. I've visited three of the homes in the last week or two, and it's definitely disturbing inside these people's homes, and something that we should do something about. But if they can take actions to get it low enough, and my personal opinion is that number is probably around 50 decibels at a person's property line, at a residence's property line. I know that the World Health Organization standard is 40. That's pretty low. Like the city manager says, he's always looking for balance. Between the various parties. But I would certainly support a recommendation to get the Traverse City folks in here if they would come in. Just to get the information.
Just to give the Planning Commission and the audience some information with regards to that, since the last Planning Commission meeting, I have been in discussions with the Traverse City manager, Ben Bifoss.
to get his approval to see if we could bring some of their staff up here. He has given his approval and referred me to the police chief, Michael Warren. We've attempted to be in contact. We keep changing phone mail. It's usually a couple times a day, and we haven't linked up directly yet. I've worked with him on other projects before, and we're hoping that we would be able to take advantage of getting their noise enforcement officers here to help us to kind of scout out the scene, the issues that we're dealing with, not only just to take a look at would Traverse City's ordinance be applicable here, but based on the representation that we have from Kirtland, is there some type of a standard that can be developed, maybe using their ordinance as a basis or something different, that would help us find an acceptable level, not just quantifying what we already have.
Comments from this end of the table?
Well, I'd like to just follow up what Tom said there, too. You know, I think we need to timeline this thing. To me, this thing's been going on a long time, and I'd like to see somebody put some real time and dates on this thing. I don't think these gentlemen want to work 3.5 days. I don't think the people out here in the audience are having all this disturbance, continue having this noise and all this interruption. So I would like somebody to sit down and say, okay, we're going to have Traverse City on this date. We're going to have more people, more equipment, modifications put in place by certain dates, and come right back here with something that people can look at. It's concrete that we can work with. To me, it's just going on, and everybody's getting upset. And it's not good for the office. It's frustrating to everybody. So I don't know how to. I'm working with Scott. Can you be lined up? We have to get some. I don't know the deadline for the EPA for the stack pollution when that comes back. But every one of these issues I mentioned, you put on a piece of paper and time the date and work for it. Some discipline in the whole system. I know it's easy to say, but I'd like to see somebody work on it.
I know our last meeting we had some issues that we found them not in compliance. I think that at the very least, those are the issues that we should target immediately and put timelines to them, because they're the most offensive to everyone. And it isn't meant that we're looking at just one end of it, or I'm not looking at what was proposed, what can be done, what should be done, and I think we need to attack that plan, you know, as quickly as possible. Because it is frustrating for both sides. It's hard for us up here to try to manage this and get it under control. So, but those items seem to be the most critical, in my opinion, of what they proposed early on and what exactly is happening now. My understanding, and maybe I wrote it down wrong, the stack testing, I thought the results were due in like 2 weeks after our last meeting. But that hasn't happened? Is that what I'm hearing?
The report is complete. It just hasn't been delivered yet. I'll hold up on that.
Okay. And the noise, without having any, you know, readings again, I'm going by what's out there on these studies. Yes, there's hearsay that it is better. But certainly we have to have something, hard evidence, that proves that out. Because one person could say they hear nothing. I want exact numbers. And I guess not exact numbers, but we can put some closure to what are we trying to achieve and get to that number. I think that needs to happen sooner than later. That's basically my take on it.
So, I think everybody wants to get to some objective criteria, both for the company to aim for and for us to be able to enforce. Any other?
I think we have to make sure we don't just focus all our energy on the sound, but keep in mind the other issues that have been presented related to odor, related to the plume, related to what is in the plume. Because I think a lot of these areas, we did, we put in good effort at that initial meeting to understand all of these areas. It wasn't just the sound. I mean, we realized it was by a school. What's coming out of the stack? We asked that question. The information we received is incorrect. We asked how big it was. The information we received was not correct. We asked about the sound. The information we received was not correct. That's of concern to me, because we're taking all of that, our hard work that we put out there, and now we're just focusing it on, it appears that we're just focusing it on criteria for sound.
Well, I just want to, I mean, we did talk about all those areas. And don't think that staff, city staff, or I have forgotten the other issues.
Okay.
We're talking tonight about sound, but all the issues are on the table. All the issues haven't been forgotten. We talked about timetables. So I think we're hearing, and we're saying the same things, but the devil's in the detail. We just don't have the timetable yet. We were looking for this planning commission to tell us, is that the direction you want staff to take? Or do you want to pull the trigger now and say this is a final order? That's really what we're saying. And so the detail, again, I don't want to limit it to saying we're going to do this, this, and this, because we may want to do three more things too. But we didn't forget about odor. We didn't forget about the plume in particulate. That's still up for, you know, debate and discussion between Kirtland and the city.
Okay. Good. I haven't been hearing much, and I don't want us to lose focus or lose sight that we might go down a road of setting criteria for sound, and if perchance that is met, then things just keep going.
Correct. It hasn't been in, for, you know, I just learned tonight about the test. Stack test is done, apparently, but, you know, again, we won't even know whether we have a good claim that a permit is required. You know, there are still some outstanding issues that we can need resolution before we come back to this board, but they've not been lost.
And even on, you know, some of those ideas on particulate, okay, if they pass EPA, so, or DEQ, you know, if they might have a standard, but is that our standard? Traverse City might have a standard, but is that our standard?
Well, but keep in mind, to some extent, DEQ does have exclusive jurisdiction. In the city, we don't have environmental ordinances, and, you know, we're a home rule city. They're under the rules. They call the shots in large degree.
If we were to approve something, but I think if we back this up and look at the information we had initially, we would have possibly not approved it, and we wouldn't be bound by any type of DEQ standard at that point.
I think the jury's out on the DEQ issue until we get some of these results.
And I'm just wondering if we should wait to be bound by that, or say, wait, this didn't meet the criteria. You know, I feel like the onus is being put on this board when we did pretty good due diligence. You know, in hindsight, of course, you change things. And I feel like we're getting pushed up, but, you know, on we'd have to do this or hire someone and pay money to do these other things. And I'm just getting a funny feeling on, you know, where's the onus? You know, are we the ones really having to go and do the extra work to make this happen, or shouldn't it be the applicant that should be doing the extra work based upon erroneous information that was, or I should say, inconsistent information that was provided and what's really happened?
Well, sure, me giving you my notes from our meeting, which I probably could, but, I mean, everything was on the table, including you asked about should we dip into our pockets again. We've talked about all these issues.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the answer for you yet, but it's there.
Meeting the non-compliant issues that we agreed upon, it was the smoke, the odor, that was all included, so we didn't just focus on noise.
Well, I'm bringing this up also to kind of just lay the seed if we're going to approve how we're going to address the meeting minutes from last meeting.
Yeah, and again, if you have the desire, it's all going to be addressed.
So there isn't really any action required of us tonight. Is that correct?
I don't really leave it to staff to maybe comment on that, but certainly we'd like to hear, and maybe it comes through your answer to 6B, but you know whether, again, you have the desire to have staff proceed to work towards the goal of coming up with an amended conditional land use permit. I worry again because the language of the motion, if it's crafted in one way, I like not addressing all the issues, the plume, the odor, and so forth. It's just, do you have a desire to move towards a goal of resolving all these issues? If you want to set a timetable, that's fine, because we all agree we'd like a timetable as well. And then address your minutes according to the issue on the minutes. Okay. Again, I don't know if the applicant has an issue on the timetable. Because if some of it is out of our hands, if we're going to use Traverse City, great. If we need to retain an expert, now it's their schedule.
Got any
suggestions? Well, I guess the Traverse City ordinance is an objective standard. It's already drafted. You don't need another expert. You know, if you wanted to adopt that as your standard, then that would be one pathway forward. Another pathway forward would be to get their input, you know, ask whatever questions you have of them, you know, have them come to another planning commission meeting to, you know, address concerns of the community. Another path forward would be to retain a consultant, and we can talk about, you know, how the costs of that are allocated. But, you know, to address Mr. Fraser's observations, you know, the onus in any kind of zoning enforcement issue, you know, the onus is technically upon the, you know, the community or upon the city to basically enforce the ordinance. We're here to try to work with you in a way to accomplish that at the lowest cost and as quickly as possible with an objective standard. So I guess, you know, there are at least, from our perspective, there are three pathways forward. You know, you can just adopt another community standard that seems to work for that community, which doesn't cost anybody anything. You know, you can go through the process of getting your own consultant, having them adopt the standard that, you know, that you may feel fits this community better. Bring them in and have them make suggestions and make changes based upon, you know, what you feel is appropriate from appropriate changes from the Traverse City ordinance.
And I guess that's why we were interested in bringing in folks from Traverse City to see if kind of how the operation of this plant stacks up to their ordinance. Does it need it? And yet still people can't sleep at night? Or does it not, you know, so we can start from that point as a starting point.
In the issue of odor and particulate, I mean, certainly you should get your own legal opinion, but I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that all VOC issues, you know, particulate matter issues, all those things are regulated under state and federal law exclusively. You know, you can't, number one, you can't have your own standard, you know, because the law says you can't, and you can't make, you know, your own standard a basis upon which to grant, to issue a permit or not, because it's basically just an end run to, you know, adopting a standard that the state and federal government have already said that this is their exclusive purview.
Okay. So,
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I keep coming back to something that Chris said, and you know, who set the high standards here was Kurt, when they came to us in the first place. And you know, running 24 hours a day next to churches, schools, near neighbors, and 24 hours a day, it's different than running 9 to 5. And that's why we were pretty much full stretch. But we didn't ask for those numbers. And we were looking at a lot of outdoor activity that is not normally allowed in the industrial park. And so when granting conditional use, you do have higher standards. It's not an abuse by right. And to have the diverse area of 270-degree circle of, or 300-degree circle of people that are being affected by this in such a negative manner, it's something I've never seen in this board. These people are really being affected in a negative way. And if I were out there, God, I'd be very tired of having this board for another study, and adopting an ordinance would take long. They don't adopt real quick. Is that correct?
Joe, we were talking about that, and it could be that we would adopt the standards, but adopt the standards in the conditional use permit, so it wouldn't have to be an ordinance. We could do the ordinance.
Back
I'm
just coming back to the basics of why this all started. I want to keep. Just Chris said, keep our eye on where this all started and not just going down one little trail. So, that is my concern, is the public welfare and these citizens that are surrounding this plant. I know they've been trying, it's too bad that Kirkland seems to be trying so hard and seems to be such nice people, because this would be a lot easier. But we do have to be, how long do we ask the citizens of Boyne City to keep living with what they're living with, too?
I can't disagree with what anybody has said, but I keep coming back to my desire, and it was a month ago, was to proceed and get some established standards. And I think the noise standard is one that, whether it's Kirtland, the place of residence, I think that is an area that we probably need to address, and I think we can do that. I don't know how quickly, but I think that's what we need to do, and we should have had this type of discussion 30 days ago.
So, goal would be, just to throw something out there, to get the Travis City folks here within the next couple of weeks, so that at the next meeting...
Well, that's the path that you want to pursue. I mean, I think that's our discussion point now.
As I say, that's more for staff and all of you,
but we need to have something coming back.
I'm just suggesting, at a bare minimum, to just make it clear again whether your last minutes are final. Then how to resolve this problem is another thing to put craft in a motion.
But I don't want nothing to happen for the next 30 days. I want to make sure that something happens so that in 30 days we're further down the road. And I'm not saying this needs to be in a motion, just directing staff to get Traverse City here. If that's the direction that we're looking at, it seems to be a good ordinance, and I realize that addresses only noise, and there are other issues we need to address too.
So, Chair, so if we approve the minutes,
so are we going on to B?
No, I just want to reiterate, I keep remembering all three options. If we approve the minutes,
If you approve the minutes,
then it's
either way,
final,
because
they
it's,
go to circuit court.
Yeah, either way, it's silent on whether they're final. So okay. Since we should raise the issue and say, yes, they're final or not. If they are final, it's a final decision, you're starting the meter running, and the applicant has 30 days. And most likely, I don't want to speak for them, most likely we may be the defendant in a circuit court appeal. If you say, if you, what I would call a motion to amend after adoption to simply say, because you made your decision, I'm not trying to change your decision, I'm just saying that you're, to add the words, that the decision is not a final decision, you pull the time, meaning no lawsuit has to be filed and the meter's not running. So that's why I said you can always come back and say, no, now it's a final decision. You don't have to redo what you did on September 17th. You just need to say if it's final or not.
And the other option is to just...
well, you don't have to adopt your minutes. I guess that's another way of... It's just a different methodology of doing the same thing. If you just don't adopt your minutes, then the meter doesn't run either.
So, and maybe you said this when I was thinking somewhere else, but so if we... do make a motion that this is not a final decision, we can come back next month and make a motion.
To
this
make
is
it
a final
decision. Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yep. Jane, talking here, I say, if we make the final decision, that's forcing the people to do something. We've got to have something done. We've got 30 days. People have to do something. We're not going to...
No, the something they will do is take it to court. So it doesn't make them... That doesn't solve anything.
Okay. It does. It makes people all of a sudden get busy and get some standards and get things going.
It doesn't give us time to adopt standards. It doesn't give us time to... It's out of our hands at that point. It's out of everybody's hands at that point.
So like Chris said, they've already gone on record of having hurdle rates that they said they could make and they haven't done it.
And we found them not in compliance because of that last meeting. So we recognize that they're not compliant.
Right.
But the final thing is, you can still, you know, cite them as not being compliant in your eyes, but allow them to get the study in to get things moving, and that would be up to the city. Is that correct? At this point, we could accept those minutes, meaning that we agree they're not in compliance on these issues. However, it gives them some time, or the city time, to adopt something so that they can work on whatever adoptions we get.
Well, if I'm following that, so help me out here, but you couldn't adopt it because you can't adopt it. First of all, it had to be prepared and then brought to you and say, okay, this is a proposed amended conditional use permit, and here are the standards. And you can't do that until A, they're prepared, and B, it comes before you.
Right. Well, I understand that.
And
what
that
I'm
probably
saying is
would take maybe, I don't know. I don't want to say it'll be more than 30 days, because I don't know. I hope it is a week. But it would take a hearing of this Planning Commission to do that.
But we could adopt our minutes from the last meeting, not final, just adopt the minutes. That
oh,
we
sure.
agreed that
correct.
They're
that's what I said. And if you say the magic words that it's not a final decision,
right.
You've adopted your minutes, but it's not a final decision, you would have pulled the time.
Mike, did you have a...
As an attempt to try and clarify it, I think the elephant that's in the room right now that you're struggling about the decision you're going to have to make tonight is whether you think this issue can best attempt to be resolved before the Planning Commission or through the courts. If you've watched what's happened, as I have at the last couple meetings before the planning, before the city commission, before, you can see we're moving slowly towards it going to court at this point. Two meetings ago when it was before the city commission, there were no attorneys present. At your last planning commission meeting, there was one attorney present. You're at this meeting, there are two attorneys present. The question that you ultimately have before you in resolving these issues, both from Kirtland's standpoint and from all these citizens' standpoint, is where do we think we're going to get the best results in the quickest amount of time? If you think that result is through the courts, then maybe you should make the decision final and see what happens then. From my standpoint, knowing how the legal process works, as the chairperson indicated, it will be out of our hands. The question that will probably first go before a judge is whether they allow them to operate or not during the time that their this case goes forward. Whether it's 3 days, whether it's 24/7, some judge will be deciding that at this point. So this group has got to figure out, as we try to resolve this issue, if we try to resolve this issue, what is the best venue where we think we're going to get the best results. There's no guarantee with any of this, as the city attorney has mentioned, and you're not bound to any of this at this point until you make that decision final. Because I'm assuming that if you did make that decision final, Kirtland is not going to be able to come up with a resolution that's satisfactory to us in the next 30 days, and they're basically going to have to go to court. So I'm identifying the elephant I see in the room before you. That's what you've got to figure out, which is the best way to go for Kirtland's behalf, for these people's behalf. But it's not going to be over one way or the other, no matter what we do tonight. We're just going to figure out, and I think we've got to think long term, what's the best avenue, the most efficient use of the resources we have available to get a result that hopefully the community will be satisfied with.
I have a question for you, Mike, or Jim. Can you give us a estimate if it went to court, timeline, I would think could be way out there, 6 months?
I would think that'd be at the earliest.
At the earliest.
I'm thinking you're probably looking at a year or two, and if there's appeals and things like that, I mean, we've had issues with other zoning matters with regards to properties in the near vicinity of this that have dragged out for years. So I don't want to give anybody any false impressions. I'm not trying to scare anybody either.
No, but based on that, I think we're better off solving it ourselves.
I'm in total agreement with that. I think we should use the language that Jim suggests, you know, to say that it's not a final decision, and then in the next 30 days, trying to get Traverse City in here, trying to see if the equipment changes that they've made really changes anything, and get the DEQ stack results. So we have three additional things we could look at 30 days from now.
And hopefully they can identify which machines need the sound abatement.
Would you like to formally make that motion to get it?
And again, I would call it like a motion to amend the minutes after adoption, because again, you didn't say this in your last meeting, so you can't say, well, these minutes are wrong, unless again, any of you have comments, by the way, now would be your time to say, well, you missed a comma or, you know, whatever here. You can do that as well. But because that wasn't said, you really need to make the motion to amend.
I would make the motion to amend
after adoption.
And after adoption, from our last meeting, that the decision that we made regarding Kirtland product is not a final decision.
Second.
Yes, that's
second.
That's it.
Okay. Any other discussion?
So everything in the body of those minutes are pertinent with that addition?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It isn't changing. It is just saying it isn't a final decision.
We had some restrictions, too, that we implemented.
And this, of course, doesn't address anything about timing or action plan that we're just...
No, because again, I wouldn't do that in the adoption of these minutes, because that's probably exceeding what you want to do with just adopting minutes. If you want to do something else, do that a second motion, which is more 6-8.
McCann?
Yes.
Leader. Needhammer?
Yes.
St. Dennis?
Yes.
Crum?
Yes.
Bellwanger?
Yes.
Fraz?
Yes.
Kozlowski?
Did that need to be seconded?
It was
my correction.
Okay. Yes.
McKenzie?
Yes.
No. Mr. Chair, do we need a motion or direction for staff? Is that what we're looking for?
I think we can. I think they've heard, and do you actually need a motion to do anything?
I don't think we need. I think we got direction.
I think it's pretty clear to me. I mean, I listen to everybody in this room. That's where the direction's coming from. I mean, we need a resolution to all these issues. So I think I heard it loud and clear. I think staff hears it loud and clear. So unless Scott or Mike feel some need for a specific motion.
No, we don't.
Okay, I don't either.
Because I would also want to keep it open for them to pursue other things that might come up within 30 days that, we might say you need to do this path, but there's some divergent path that would be better.
Okay. So it's clear, and I think it's clear that the runtime will still be 3 days a week. You know.
That's why I brought up that point. Sure. Everything in there is still
clear about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So through that. Okay. Next item. I guess we're ready to move on, right? Or, yes, Chris.
The only. Should we, so staff has a good idea on what they're pursuing, time and cost.
I want them to come back to us next month for time and cost.
So with ideas on all of the topics, along with as best as possible, time and cost related to each item and maybe the different
Tom, your budget is right online. So anybody can read it, and we're aware of the budget restraints on the city and so forth. So,
but I think I know where Chris is going. If we can have something happen in the next 5 days, it's better than waiting 30 days for them to come back with a cost proposal.
But I think the staff knows that. And that's
correct.
Said we want it done as quickly as possible, not 30, 60 days.
Okay. And also to know if there are scenarios that are going to take a certain amount of time to say, and it will cost this much, or and this will cost this much, so we know. Because when we get back in 30 days, my hunch is it's still going to take more time. And so we look at those options and we say, how much more time or how much more money? Just to know. You know, if we go this way, estimated time and cost this way, estimated time and cost, and even also what our standing is, you know, what is, you know, if it does go to court, where do we stand? You know, how do we feel about that? I would like to get that input and recommendation. Do we go a year, then go to court? Boy, that would be a huge amount of cost, and then we're still going to court, you know? I would like to see those avenues with time and cost on that. That's, I think, would help.
Understood.
In the meantime, you've got a lot of upset people.
Mm-hmm. Well,
expediting this thing to me is something that has to be done.
Okay. Thank you. Here. So our next item, we're moving on to new business, is the Water Street Mall proposed development plan amendment. And time to leave.
Hey, Mike, don't lock the door. Don't lock the door between here and the office, please. I don't have my keys.
I don't have mine either. I'm hoping so.
It should be. Karen's going to leave it open.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
About how long were you out?
What's that? Yeah. I don't even have it. It's there, Mark. So.
Okay, let's get back to order here. This is new business, the Water Street Mall proposed development plan amendment. This came up last time. I have a conflict of interest, and I still do. The organization I work for, Northern Homes, could potentially benefit with this project moving forward. So I am going to actually totally leave. And I'll turn it over to Grinch. Yes.
And we don't even have to motion. And we gave George, you're leaving too?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yields to Scott.
All right. Gail Neff, owner of Y&T Properties, has submitted a request to amend previously approved plan. Mr. Grizzell is here representing Mr. Neff in this interest, as he is looking to purchase a piece of property from Mr. Neff. You can see it on the hatched portion of this aerial. The yellow portion is the entire property of the Water Street Mall. Mr. Grizzell owns the building on the parcel in green and the building in the parcel in blue there. He recently received approval from this commission to add a couple of apartments to that. And you may recall parking was a big consideration as part of that consideration. To help his situation with his parking, he wants to obtain this parking area. That's a total of 14 parking spots. And also he wanted to be able to build outward on this building, putting a deck or some other structure out to the west side of it. And given the lot line is right on the building line, he wouldn't be able to accomplish that without encroaching. So he would like to get control of that property adjacent. When this plan was approved in 1986, it was approved, and I believe there was 57 parking spaces provided. When they did the calculation for how many spots would be required for this particular proposal, it was 55 spots. How they came up to that conclusion, I have no idea. They didn't illustrate how they calculated those uses and requirements. But when you look at the building size and the amount of parking spots, it works out to be about one space for every 175 square feet of usable space. And that is kind of on the more conservative side of our parking requirements. A typical retail office is about one for 250 spaces, 250 square feet. Some uses do go up to 100, one for 100 square feet, that's a restaurant. I think doctor's offices have a little higher. So when you look at this use, and it has such a wide variety of uses, and a wide variety of uses that seem to change over time, finding a specific number to say how many required spots for this is a very difficult task. This proposed would reduce the amount of parking this unit has from 55 spaces to 41. The one space that was in front of the American Legion exit here, that was shown on the original approved plan, but if you look through those approval minutes, that space was eliminated, so the exit door from the American Legion wouldn't be encumbered.
This is a site plan amendment to a previously approved site plan. I did provide the process outlined in the ordinance, but basically it's a mutual consent between the Planning Commission and the applicant in order to accomplish this. You may wish to, look at this request in total, or is there something lesser that would be more acceptable, or nothing at all? I mean, it has to be neutral. I do have some reservations about this particular lot configuration with giving them this, this flag lot shape. I also have some concerns about the control of this parking now being over here and what could happen in the future. So I guess I would be more comfortable, just from my perspective, if you didn't amend this at all, just the portion that was adjacent to these two properties that Mr. Gravel owns. Another issue that needs to be considered is, how do they access across this area to get to this if you do? There would have to be some type of ingress, egress, easement across that to get to this. That would have to be between those two properties to ensure that for perpetuity. So those are just some issues that need to be talked about. Mr. Grizel is here. He can answer any questions and give this presentation.
I'm Ken Crisell, and I'm looking at purchasing the parking from Gale Neff. We do have, and I thought Gail had given you a copy of the easement.
No.
Okay. I've got a rough sketch. I thought
that's a drawing. I didn't see the easement.
Oh, okay. No, just a sketch.
Yeah, the sketch has been provided. That sketch that you provided me.
Okay. Yeah. So there is a sketch basically down the center showing an easement.
Well, there's not a written easement document.
No, not yet.
Yeah.
That's what we would do in the sale is have that written up by Umbershaw when the
it'd have to be a legal easement.
Legal easement, yeah.
Written up.
Right. What I'm doing now is, and you're probably all aware of it, is that I'm renting these spots currently. Which actually exist behind Lake Street Market. So I think there's 10 spots or so that are behind that now.
This is the original site plan from 1986. It shows those parking spots. I went down there and counted them, and there's 14. This one is not there. It's striped off, or maybe this one that's right behind the American.
Can you go back to the other? And can I go up to
this one?
The original one you had
on the aerial?
Yeah.
That's the black and white. Let me get the color one.
Okay. Good. Currently, if you can see it here, there's a garbage disposal area here. The proposal is to have that moved when I purchase this. But basically what we're looking at is currently I'm renting up to about here from Yale-Med. So we've discussed it and we thought it would be easier for me just to purchase the whole thing. If this board feels that no, it doesn't make sense for you to purchase the land behind the veterans, that's fine. I don't have a problem with it. He doesn't have a problem with it. That's not a concern for either one of us. This was just more of a simple, it makes sense type thing. So the property obviously right behind here is definitely, it doesn't sound like there's any objection to that. So then we're just left with this spot right behind Lake Street Market. I've tried to, Gail and I have both tried to convince Lake Street Market they need that parking. And they said, well, why do we need the parking when we can use it for free? Well, somebody has to maintain it. Somebody has to line it, still plow, pay the taxes on it. They are not interested in any shape or form of helping out with any help at all. So if that's the case, I've been renting those spots from Gail. If that's the case, if they don't ever want that, then okay, I'm fine with that. Then let me use it for the parking for the people that, and that'll help alleviate some of the parking out here, because now we'll have parking back there permanent. I'll put up signage, be able to say apartment one, apartment two, apartment three. And then Crizzell insurance parking. So there's not a question as to who's using that spot. I'll maintain it. And we have an easement written up. So we're just really trying to have this permanent. So that if I want to, like Scott said, right now when I do the addition, I'd like to put a little deck off the back. I can't do that now because I'm ready to go on. So that would give me that ability. So to answer the question, doesn't sound like we have any issues with this portion. I don't really care, neither does Gail, about this portion. If you guys feel that that makes sense. If you make sense, feel it makes sense to, for us for me to purchase the whole thing, I'm fine with that. So we really have three options. We have purchase just behind that, to purchase up to the point of behind Lake Street Market, and then purchase the whole park. And I'm open for discussion as to what your thoughts are on that.
Or maybe not. Before we do that, is there any public comment before we go to board discussion? No one in the public? Go ahead, Chris or.
Well, we normally try not to have irregular shape of spots for whatever reason, because we're clean and neat, makes it easy, right?
Right.
Would that be neat?
I want to be very clear of what you're doing here. This is a request to amend that site plan.
Correct.
And what you'll be doing is either not agreeing to what's proposed, right, or agreeing to amend it to a degree to eliminate a certain amount of parking.
And that was where I was going next.
That's there what's is in front of you right
now. Very large public, anybody can park there. Parking lot across the street, and when the mall parking does overflow, it seems to gravitate there very easily. Not very often, unfortunately, the mall overflows, but there is a very large public directly across the street. So losing a few parking spaces maybe, or we seem to be pushing more private parking, public parking downtown, that somewhat lowering our requirements, would you say? We didn't. We're getting away from the 4th of July Christmas parking theory.
I think you're not even eliminating. You're shifting parking here, because mm-hmm. those parking spots are going to disappear.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they're still going to be.
But they're not part of the malls anymore.
No. It's just shifting parking from those users to these users.
But they're not part of the mall anymore.
They are not.
If they'll get to this point.
Really, to very simply put, I need more parking. He doesn't need all the parking. You've never seen the parking lot full, because it never gets full. Even with my people parked. I mean, I've been using those spaces the entire time since I've been there. And yet, even that has not overflowed anymore.
Yes, I'm leaning towards keeping the parking behind his buildings and staying with the possibility that Liz and Chris could purchase a couple of lots behind the market when they get the idea that they're not there as one of these days.
What's that?
Perhaps the Lake Street Market will realize that it's a public property one of these days.
Well, we discussed that. I hope this is an open discussion here.
Anyway, but I have no problem with the property behind Mr. Grizzell's. And not making it an irregular shaped lot.
Well, my comment on it is, if you're currently renting them and it's sufficient, I would elect not to change the, because you're going to have the same issue if you're renting them or leasing them or whatever you're doing. Are you putting names on them and blocking them off?
Well, the problem with, there's a couple problems with that. Number one, it's not the people end up parking the streets. I don't want them really parking the streets, especially if I'm going to add on two more apartments or possibly four more apartments. I want to have parking for the people in the back, and have the front more of a drop-off. Hey, drop off your groceries, drop off, you know what I'm saying? Because there's only three parking spots, I believe, up front. And so this would eliminate that problem permanently, because the rest of the story, I've been approved for two apartments. Once I met with builders, they're saying, well, it's more cost effective to put four apartments there than you might as well put four as opposed to two, thus needing more parking. Mm-hmm. That's, I guess, it just makes sense. He's got more than enough parking. I don't have enough parking. Who knows, the next guy that buys it from Gail Neff, is he's going to rent it to me.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I guess this is, and I understand your position, this is my position on it. The Water Street Mall is encompassed all that area, and we don't know what's going to be in there in the future, and maybe they need them all. And I know you're trying to get it before that happens, but in my opinion, I would like to keep it straight and clean just like it is. And if you're able to lease them from this lady and get a long term, that'd be great for you, but it doesn't change anything for us. That's my opinion. And for whatever it's worth, that's my take on that. And not talking to the other folks, you know, I don't know what they're, maybe they want to rent them also, but that's between you and the lady you're releasing them from.
It's actually a gentleman.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. But that's my opinion on it, to leave it as is and not break it up. Because I drove down there, and I see a lot of issues if you infringe upon there, and then the parking on the other side is not within the standards. It could be. And now you just eliminate the parking on the other side. So there's a lot of issues that could pop up here.
I guess I want to at least give him the option to buy the ones behind his building, because he's not going to necessarily always have a lot of control. Do you have a long-term lease on those?
No, in fact, that's the point. He's like, get off Potter. I mean, he doesn't want to continue this leasing, renting thing either. We want something permanent.
And then I'm back to Scott saying that even with the one space to 175 square feet for the mall is fairly conservative. So even if the use changes in the future, we should still be okay with that. But I think we need to give him a chance to at least get some of those. I mean, that's my opinion.
One thing, this is in the Central Business District. And that does allow, you know, the Planning Commission the ability to adjust and waive parking, which you've done before. But what is that required parking from that huge site?
Right.
Today's standards, it's almost impossible to calculate. I went down there and looked at all the different uses. It looks like there's a couple of vacant stores. There's, you know, office. There's, you know, some, you know, restaurant has a little higher demand. Tanning salon. That's not even in the ordinance. I don't know how to calculate that. So, you know, coming up with a firm number for what that means today. It's almost impossible. You kind of have to look at it as a, you know, a comprehensive, whole unit, then how does it work? And in my opinion, it seems to be working pretty well. I mean, I've never seen overflow parking there. There is a demand on bingo nights, and that's from people that don't have use there. So I guess to eliminate some of the parking spaces, I don't see as creating a problem. Whether or not this board is comfortable with adjusting it, that's another question. Just from a pure effect standpoint, I don't see this changing things a whole lot.
Scott, your question about the lot irregularity, was that for the Water Street Mall or for Ken's?
So more of Ken's, because okay. This is kind of a regular lot already.
Yeah, it's a funny looking one anyway. So if we this, at least gave them the ones behind, it would...
It would keep that, and then, it would leave the door open at some future date if these people and these people wanted to do a similar thing, to square those off and have some parking behind that they could do. So...
But the intent is parking. So even if you do the deck, that doesn't...
The deck would be a couple stories high,
parking underneath.
Ken, does that proposed parking include the added units? Is that?
Well, I'm already approved for the two.
Okay, but you mentioned four.
Right.
So.
And I couldn't, I don't know. I have to go back to Scott to find out if you
may recall that this came in front of us and there was some history about the parking and there was a variance and other concerns, calculations, and the two additional units were within the amount of parking that was provided or was approved, so there wasn't any issue there. If you add two more units, that's going to push it above that, so that's going to have to come back and be approved.
That's the reason.
That's why I'm asking. This is necessary for that future development.
It is necessary for the future development, or for you guys to give me a higher, what's it called?
Give me more relief.
More relief, which I really don't want more relief. I just want to be able to have the parking for the people.
When that came before us before, my memory isn't very good, but I remember personally being on the fence on approving those additional two units because of parking. Well, I think we were all debating that. Mr. Frizzell, did you say at that time you hadn't obtained that blue piece of property, but
correct,
it was your hope, and if you did, that was going to be for parking?
That is a possibility, but that's...
No, I'm just saying, back then...
Yes.
When you were applying for those two, when you were wanting the two apartments, we had a concern of parking, and you said, well, shouldn't be a problem. I'm pretty close to getting this adjacent property, and that's where they will park.
Well, I said that's a possibility of them parking there, yes. Basically, if you can see the front, you can see the garage there, mm-hmm. and then you can see the front. Basically, there's room enough to get in the garage. I could tear down the garage, mm-hmm. But right now, quite frankly, it's being used for maintenance of the building and such. Mm-hmm. So, which is, at the time, I honestly didn't consider. I was thinking, well, I'll just tear down the building with a garage, but that's really not, that wouldn't make sense.
So that's changed from when?
From when, initially my thought was, I thought, well, let's just do that, but it really is not, doesn't make sense, though.
Okay.
You do use it for parking for two cars, vehicles.
Right now I'm not using it for parking for anything because I've got stuff in the garage.
Okay. There's two vehicles there in the morning right there. Somebody's truck to the moment.
There's a truck there, and the truck is going to be removed this week. It's broke down.
There's still room for two vehicles there.
In front of the garage. If I didn't want to get in the garage.
Right.
Gotcha. Kind of. Six and one half.
Well, you do that in the city sometimes. You move things from out in front of your garage and... There is room for two vehicles.
Well, technically, I can't use those parking spots. Those are technically parking spots for the house. Across. The house and the garage I bought together. those parking spots are technically for that house.
Oh, you bought Royson's house?
Yes.
Well, you own them.
Right.
Whatever parking you want.
But I couldn't. Yeah, I mean, you tell me. I mean, my understanding is that parking, I have to have parking for the house, and that's where it's at. That garage is attached to the house. So that's why I have not, in fact, the picture there, that really is not set up for parking for that building. That garage and that parking is set up for that house. Now, if you tell me, well, I've got to use that for that, then I don't have any parking for the house.
And that's what you told us your plan was, I thought.
If I was going to tear down the garage. And initially, it was just an off-the-cuff thing. So that's what I thought. Well, that makes sense. Well, now that I'm there and using it, it does not make sense to tear down the garage at this point. In the future, I don't know.
No, I know. And I was trying to think back how we got here, you know, and thinking.
What we did is we said, okay, well, let's not talk about that. That hasn't happened. Let's just go before what we got. And so we eliminated that altogether.
I did. Actually, I mean, that was in my mind that you had said your plan was to obtain that and that could be used for parking. That, I mean, at least I had thought about that, whether it's relevant or not. So, Central Business District, or if we were to allow the chain, amend the site plan, are you able to put restrictions on how much of it would have to be parking, or could he build all the way out and not use any of it for parking?
He owns it.
You know?
That's it.
Down the road.
Yeah.
Next week.
Exactly. Or the next owner. Exactly. And just like he had changes with, you know, things evolve. But we need to the planning side, not just the current applicant, but the future and future. And then also, one of my concerns is, you know, there's a restaurant in this mall, which isn't running, as I've seen lately, anywhere near full capacity. And Scott, you said the typical estimate for a restaurant is like one space per 100 square feet. And right now, with all of the parking that's associated with this mall, there's one space per 175. So I think your conservative was, it's tight, it could be tight on parking, right?
No, it's conservative, it has more parking spaces than for a lot of typical users. One space per 175 is probably one of the more restrictive parking requirements. One for 200, one for 250, one for 350 are more typical downtown business type users.
Okay.
Retail, office. And the only one that is outside that is the restaurant. That's one of the higher ones. And that's, in this particular configuration, I believe there's about 2,000 square feet dedicated to the restaurant.
Of a 10,000 square foot building with demands of all kinds of space. Okay. Which is over a third of using 57. And to think that would be half if we decide to sell all of it and then it goes down to 41. Wow, that doesn't seem like a lot of spaces if half of it is kind of...
I did my calculations on it. I got a little sum, but they're a little different than what Scott had. Currently, I had one space per 196 square feet. Mm-hmm. And if they go down to 41 spaces, it's one for every 263 square feet.
Were you using
10,800
the gross or the usable?
Using 10,800 feet.
Right. You have to take out like the hallways, bathrooms, the camp.
Okay.
So the usable square feet is just that dedicated to
those individual users, like that big main hallway to the center.
Yeah.
You wouldn't count that.
You don't count that.
So that's why my number's a little different.
Oh, okay. But anyway, if he was to just get the seven spaces, I assume that if you cut that and have seven spaces behind your area, or eight or nine, well, how many is it?
I just got the whole number, but I would say there's probably eight or nine.
Yeah. I mean, the square footage left for the mall. I mean, if you have instead of 41 parking spots at the mall, there's now going to be 45 or 46 parking spots at the mall, knocked down to 41. So it would be like one every 220 square feet or something, which, you know, seems entirely reasonable like that. I agree with you, Scott. Mm-hmm. Seems entirely reasonable.
Back to Chris's concern about what if we give it to him and he decides he doesn't want to be parking anymore. Do I remember correctly when he came here before, those rented spots were counted, right? I mean, he'd have to come up with, if he decided to have that be something different, he'd have to come up with more parking spots.
Those were considered, but they weren't part of that application.
Yeah, they weren't part of that application.
When the Planning Commission can look at parking, you can consider other factors in its determination. And the use of those was one factor. The availability of public parking around was another factor. So,
can't you just specify that they have to be parking? In the future, they'll be parking for that location, for those buildings in front of it.
Well, if I built the other...
Well, that's how the permit is now. It's attached to Water Street.
That's what I'm trying to think of, unintended consequences.
Yeah.
So what you're being asked tonight is to amend this plan and separate that parking from the Water Street Mall. Mm-hmm. So that's what's in front of you. The future use of those, once those are separated, that may be another issue of what this board needs to consider. And Mr. Cazell has indicated that he's going to be considering making a plan for adding two more units to that. So, you know, when that site plan is amended, if amended, can it take into consideration the addition of this property and put restrictions on that so it maintains its parking, I guess. I'm just trying to talk this out.
Scott, can I ask you a quick question, too? He's leasing it now. So the Water Street Mall, whether they transfer the property, or if they didn't transfer it, it still belongs to him. So
if he wanted
to give it to somebody else to use, Neff would have to come before the Planning Commission to modify parking.
That's what he's doing.
No, but I'm just saying, regardless of whether Ken leases it or we're borrowing it or anything, I mean, it's...
I'm with you, Gretchen. I think what you're getting at is we're not talking anything different than the transfer of ownership. It's mm-hmm. still the same amount of blacktop. And I don't care if... I think Ken can buy the whole thing, and my basis of that is because the lots behind Lake Street Market and the lots behind the veterans, we don't care if Mr. Neff rents them to them or rents them to Ken. That's irrelevant to us. It's still the same amount of blacktop.
My concern is maintaining that as blacktop, because what's in front of you tonight is adjusting that site plan, the Water Street Mall site plan. So once you say yes, we can separate that from that.
Okay.
Okay, so you've amended that plan. Now what happens to that portion that is separated? You know, it transfers ownership and you know, how can we control what happens there to maintain, you know, your desire to keep that as parking? And I'm not sure I have the mechanism understood fully and exactly how to do that.
And it would only happen if he came back and said he wants to build two or four more apartments. Therefore, he would dedicate those plots behind Lake Street Market as apartment addition 1, 2, 3, 4, and behind the veterans 1, 2, 3, 4, which we've already proven the mall has enough lots parking. They got enough parking, so I don't see an issue here. I guess.
I guess I would feel more comfortable if this was done in conjunction with a site plan that was brought, so you can do it in one action
shot,
where this is transferred to that, and this is now part of that, and part of this approved plan, instead of just kind of adjusting one plan and eliminating that parking, and then, okay, you can do that. Now what happens to that without any kind of condition or control?
Yeah, but when you say eliminating that parking, it's not being eliminated, it's just being transferred in ownership.
Well, it's being eliminated from Water Street Mall.
Then he could do anything.
Yeah, and that's what happens to us next, and that's without any
kind of... But Water Street Mall doesn't need it. They got enough.
No, but he would. But he's using it right now.
Would it be prudent, and I don't think the Roberts rules, to table this until that mechanism is...
That part of another plan comes forward.
Or reject it, and then he applies, I mean, just to get the process...
I think you would table it and wait for submission of a development plan for the adjacent property so it can be incorporated into another adjacent plan.
Could
just not just leave that piece hanging out there.
Scott, could it be approved with a contingent on the approval?
No, I would table it and do it as part of the plan.
You don't have some kind of a written plan or something, there's nothing to look at.
No, that's what I'm saying. Contingent, it's approved contingent on the approval of the plan.
I don't see the value of doing that.
Okay, it's just a value.
It gets the same place at the same time.
Okay.
But by postponing it makes sense. On the other hand, if Mr. Neff is pushing the issue, then does that put you in a hard spot? Because you may not have the desire or the funds or the mechanism to get an architect and come up with a site plan with four more apartments and so forth.
I guess what is your timeline for coming back to this board for amending your...
Honestly, I didn't think about it until just now. I don't know, you tell me, Scott, what would I need? I mean, my intention is clearly not to change that to anything other than park. And I think that in order for you to give me the approval on the, I guess it takes care of itself in a sense. If I say, hey, I'd like to put four apartments as opposed to two, you're going to say no unless you have more parking. So I would say, okay, here's my parking issue eliminated. So if we can do it both at the same time, I'm okay with that.
But
I guess I don't think
that's... that's going to take up more expense and time because you have to come in with a site plan review, which means some architectural drawings, right?
It's going to have to do it anyway. I mean,
well, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, do I only need it for the parking?
You're asking for an approval for the building, to adjust the building. So... I don't know if it's going to change much from what you originally proposed, or just the insides.
It's just, basically there's, instead of, the original plans, which I think you guys saw, the original plans showed two options, a three apartment or a four apartment. And basically what I'm going to do is instead of putting two apartments, the two apartments basically had an area of one story, where the apartment, or four apartments, it's a story and a half.
So it's going up higher?
It's going up higher.
And then you also talked about a balcony coming out.
The balcony is off the back side.
Right, so there's going to be structural changes to this building.
Correct.
That are going to need to be reviewed.
Right.
And part of that is also the additional units,
right,
the parking.
But you may not want to tackle all that. Whereas Mr. Neff wants to sell him this lot right now. I don't see any problem with selling them a lot.
I have reservations about, because what you're going to do is just separate that parking from the Water Street. You have no other requests in front of you tonight. Mm-hmm. You're not approving.
But the owner of the market or the mall, he wants to do it. So why can't he just, why can't anybody in town that owns a private parking lot separate it and sell it to a different owner? That's all we're doing here. We're not changing the...
You're changing their development plan, and, but you don't have any...
Not the malls.
You don't have anything in front of you of what's going to happen to that piece of property once you separate it. You can't put any condition on it. You can't, there's no request for what happens to that property afterwards.
Well, you can't build a 20-foot lot.
I was going to say, what are his options?
Yeah, what's his options? It's 20-foot wide. It's only parking.
I guess that's a good question. What else could I do with that property other than...
20-foot wide and 100...
Is there any possibilities?
I mean, you do have zero setbacks.
Well...
I don't know. I've seen a guardrail fence go in just on the street. So I have concerns about unintended consequences. So
right. So we're being asked to amend. Right. And I don't think anybody wants to put conditional uses on an amended plan. I think that's...
Yeah, it's a very...
Well, can I ask this, and would it be helpful at all if we tonight said we'll transfer the ones behind your buildings? Allow that.
But he's not going to pay a surveyor and a record of deeds.
Twice.
Right.
So from your, that wouldn't be helpful for you.
Again, if it helps you guys, and I don't know if it helps at all, but the way I've been renting from him is the parking spots between Lake Street Market and mine. That seems to work well for my tenants. It seems to work well for my office. It seems to work well for him. So it just seems to work well. Now, do I need the other spaces behind the veterans? I don't. This was just something that Gail and I thought, well, let's just make it clean, straight through, boom, done. An easement, straight through, boom, done. Very clean, as you can see, the line there is now, just all we're doing is moving that line over a little, 20 feet. So it just seemed cleaner to us. If you feel that it's cleaner to leave the veterans parking separate, that's fine. We're just thinking what's cleanest.
You like it? Brought up earlier, there is no easement language in front of you, and I think that's an important part.
That was part of
if that does happen. So, you know, considering where this is with what you have, you know, I don't want to tell you what to do, but, you know, I think...
Go ahead. Make a recommendation.
Yeah, I think a more complete request needs to come in front of you to be able to act appropriately. To act just on this request may leave some loose ends that need to be tied up, and hopefully would be tied up, but it would still leave them. I would rather see it all done in a comprehensive way with one.
Would it be prudent just to table it or postpone it, and Ken can go back to us with Plan A, Plan B, or the full development plan? If he buys the whole thing, come in with the site plan.
Yeah. And do it as part of, yeah, that's kind of what I think would be.
That's right. Why I guess I can't remember what's the best, tabling it or voting it up or down one way or another.
Postponing it makes more sense than voting it.
Well, postponing it puts it off to a certain date. Tabling it, I believe, is pending him getting the information back to us, mm-hmm. and then we can bring it back to you whenever that happens.
Mm-hmm. So you want to table.
Okay. Does that work for you,
Ken? Can you explain your concern about right away, or?
Ask the question.
I still don't understand.
Are we talking about, Ferguson Chamberlain, he's all set to do a
survey.
He just did one for my building, so basically it's all set. We didn't want to do that expense unless we got approval. But if you're saying bring that from
I'm not talking about a survey. I'm talking about an easement.
That's part of you and Mr. Neff.
You're going to need an easement to get across this property
right.
to get to here.
And in order to do the easement, the lawyer said we have to have the survey done first. So the survey, then basically Sherm said that he'd actually do the easement for us because he's done lots of them over the years. So that all came in one package, I guess. So if you're asking me to bring that back Sure, absolutely, bring that back to you guys.
I'd ask you to maybe really consider only taking the spots behind your two buildings. You know, would make it cleaner. I think if Mr. Neff would agree to just sell you that portion, and might make it just, you know, if you really don't need the others, why do you want to buy the others?
I really do need the ones behind Lake Street Market, but I've been using and renting them, yeah. And I could really use them. The other ones, the only reason I'm even offering to buy them is to make it cleaner. Yeah, if you guys say
Market, you might as well go the whole way.
Right. Well, see, that's where our thought was. Might as well do the whole way. Yeah. But it's really up to you guys. I'm okay. Again, it's. Do I need the parking behind Lake Street Market? Yes, I do. I'm using it now.
Okay.
Do I need it behind Veterans? No, I don't use it now. I quite frankly would probably just continue letting Veterans use it like I have been. And we're actually Veterans have been very good in discussing it and. So they're on board with it. And Lake Street Market, you know, they're just washing their hands, but they don't want anything to do with it.
So any more discussion, or does somebody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we table this. What is it? It's a development plan amendment.
Amended development plan for Gonzale property, because we have an approved plan for that you approved earlier this year, in conjunction with this proposal.
Got that, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
That's my motion.
So you have a motion. Do you have a second?
I'll second
it. A second. Any further discussion? Roll call.
Meadhammer?
Yes.
St. Dennis?
Yes.
Crum?
Yes.
Hellwinger? Not here. Fraz?
Yes.
Kozlowski?
Yes.
McKenzie is left. McCann?
Yes.
Meader?
Yes.
Motion carries. Item 8, staff report.
We are going to be reviewing the applications for the assistant planner this week and hopefully setting up interviews for sometime next week. And hopefully get that position filled quickly. I will be going to the Michigan Association of Planning Conference in Traverse City Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. There's a lot of good information that we can share.
Wait to stop see the sound guy in Traverse City.
That was hopefully going to be having free time.
Yeah. Hey, Scott, whatever happened with the county?
Regard all of the planner, they went ahead and eliminated it from their budget and consolidated the planning department with Brian Kelly and Kirsten Stark, and they're assuming those responsibilities. That's the way I'm on board.
How many applicants did you have for this system?
23 applications.
Nice.
Good people, it looks like, so hopefully we'll be able to find somebody.
We'll move on to number 9. Go to the order. Does anybody have comments? No comments. Move to number 10. Motion to adjourn from anybody?
I'll make a motion.
So move. Second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We are adjourned.